good evening.
How many of you have struggles in your Christian life, or is it just me? Oh, we seem to have those struggles, don't we? Let's turn to Romans 8:28 tonight, and we're going to bounce a few different places, but we're going to start right there. Before we start, let's open in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight, and we thank you, Lord, that we can hold your word in our hands, that we can have our own personal copy, that nobody can take it away from us, Lord, but it's a gift that you have given to each one of us. Thank you, Lord, for the time that you've given us to be here tonight. We ask that you'd bless it. Lord, that you just use me to deliver the news that the Lord Jesus Christ would receive all the honor and glory, for it's in his name we pray. Amen. Romans 8:28 says this. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." I'm a complainer. I don't mean to be, but I struggle. I struggle because the kind of work I do, I have to diagnose problems. So I logically take things apart, look at them, and come up with a solution to fix them. So it can cause problems in other areas of life. Because what I do at work, I diagnose the problem, I come up with a solution, and I try to do that in my regular everyday life too. And you know, sometimes it just doesn't work real well, and I'm one of those people when things don't go well, I complain. I complain, my face gets real hot and red, and I complain, and I have a hard time accepting a mess that something has turned into a disaster and that this is God's will for my life. I struggle with that. Almost a year ago, on the day of my birthday, I was admitted to Lawrence Hospital with sepsis. And the first thought in my brain was, why? Why, Lord? Why me at this point in time? What did I do wrong? Why did this thing befall on me? I don't understand. And my wife came down to visit me, and she was kind of quiet while I was complaining. She let me spout off, complain, and say all these things. And the next night she came down, and you know what she brought me? She brought me my Bible. So I have a wise wife because she didn't say anything. She didn't argue with me. She just brought me my Bible. And I opened up my Bible I just popped it open and it fell on Job 38 where Job was questioning God. Well, why, Lord, did all these things happen to me? I don't understand. And God said to him, "Where were you when I formed the foundations of the earth? If you know an answer, then declare it to me. Tell me. And where were you when I put the stars in heaven and I did this and I did that? And if you know these things, Job, let me know." And I think Job was stopped for words because he didn't have any answers, just like we don't have any answers. Listen, we have to understand this, that when in Romans 8:28 says that, "And we know," that's a declaration of something that we should understand as believers in Jesus Christ. How many times has the Lord Jesus Christ ever let one of us down? Now, let me say this. Let me clarify this, because you're going to say, well, you know, I prayed for this to happen, and it didn't happen this way, it happened that way. Well, no, it didn't happen the way that you wanted it to happen, because that wasn't God's will. God's will was for something different than what you prayed for, and Romans 8:28 comes into play where it says, And we know that all things in my life are appointed by God, that he knows every detail of everything that's going on in my life right now, right this minute, right this second. He knows that my heart is aching right now. He knows that I'm discontent right now. And I know that all these things are going to work together to, number one, bring me closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, understand his will for my life and my purpose here on earth. I almost fell out of my chair Sunday night when Pastor Jake read Acts chapter 1. And he said, "What is our purpose in life?" It says, "And after this, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke these words, the Holy Ghost come upon you, and after this, ye shall become what? Witnesses. That is our goal here in life, to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and tell others about the work that Jesus Christ is doing in each one of us. Because it's a wonderful work. And how can I tell you that? Because I know who I used to be, and I know who I am now. And I got no part in that. Because the day I got saved, something started to happen. Something I couldn't explain. I couldn't explain it. The things that I was comforted in before, now I felt guilty. The places I went to before, I really don't want to go there. I feel uncomfortable about this. That was the thing that happened when the Holy Ghost came upon me. It didn't happen overnight. I didn't, get saved and then instantly transformed overnight. Salvation is instant. Sanctification is a process. And the sanctification process is a slow process. It took that cursing, lying, ill-tempered man and it turned him into something that can glorify God. And that's what God can do. And the reason that we need to be witnesses and tell others is so that they can experience the same thing that we did through salvation in Jesus Christ. But I'm going to tell you something. The devil is one of our enemies. As a Christian, as a believer, we got three. We got three, pretty severe ones. We got the world, the devil, and the flesh. But the devil, man, he's in charge of all of them. And you know what the devil is great at? Distraction. While he's got you having a pity party over here for yourself because something didn't go your way, you know what you're not doing? You're not being witnesses. You're not glorifying God. You're not bringing people closer to the cross. That's what you're not doing. The devil is great at distraction. You know what he's doing if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? He's keeping your mind on everything but church, salvation, God, Christ, God's will. He's distracting you from those things. He's sending delusions in your life. That stuff's not real. Oh, the news says this and the books say that. Yep. All those things contradict God and His Word. But let me tell you something. Let God be true and every man a liar. Because God is true. And God is the God of salvation. And He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, down. And let me tell you something. The moment that you step into the realm that you want to serve God, you mark it down. You're going to have a target on your back. And I'm not trying to discourage you from serving God. I'm telling you, expect it. Just expect it. And the reward is worth it all. It says here, and we know that all these forces that are against us work together for good. Well, how is that? Well, let me tell you something. When I went into the hospital, my prayer life was, I prayed every day. But let me tell you what, when that doctor said that you have sepsis, that you might not make it through this, we got to take your leg out, we got to do MRIs to make sure the infection didn't get into your heart valves, because if it did, it's all over. You know what? My prayer life increased. My prayer life increased. I started looking through God's Word, and I wanted to know some things. I wanted to, back like when I used to preach down in New London, but you get lazy, I'm going to tell you something. When things go along good, we get lazy. The Bible tells us that we are the light of the world. We're supposed to shine for God. I think it says in Daniel that we're supposed to shine like the stars of the firmament. And it talks about people that win souls, and we're a star for God. But you know something? When we got turmoil and trouble, it's easy to shine when everything's going good, man. Yeah, praise the Lord. And then, oh boy, what a rotten day I had. Oh man, I got a big tax bill, the roof is leaking, my car is broken. And all right, well, let me get a violin and go along with that sad story. Listen, it doesn't mean because that we're saved, we're exempt from the problems of this world. We're going to have the same problems that everybody else does. But let me tell you something. We got the grace of God upon our life that we can call out to Him in times that we're just beside ourselves. The Bible tells us, and I'm going to paraphrase it because it just came to my mind, that when we can't pray, when we are so distressed, and when we're so, there's so much heaviness on us, that the Spirit of God Amen. Takes those things and carries them to God for us.
Amen.
I mean, come on now, you can't be encouraged with something like that. That's just fantastic. I can't pray. I'm just beside myself. I'm just distraught. I can't help myself. And the Spirit inside of me takes all those things, all that anguish, all that sadness, all that worry and care, and brings it to God for me. We serve an awesome God. We serve an awesome God. You know, my hero in the Bible is Paul. Okay, because I can relate to Paul. Somebody that's ill-tempered. The mouth runs sometimes before the brain. I'm guilty of all those things. And Paul was one of those guys that he was very outspoken about many things. And it sounds like he could be tough to get along with at times. And Paul was a man of God that faced many challenges. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, let's go there just for a second. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Starts in verse 7. This is Paul. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Oh, here it goes. We all know about those thorns, don't we? You know, it might be a sickness. It might be a financial problem. It might be a relationship problem. There's a lot of thorns out there. And it says, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Wow, doesn't that sound like us? Oh, Lord, please make this go away. Well, if you're like me, you don't like pain. And, you know, I'm 63 years old, and I don't like problems at this point. You know, I like the day to go along nice and smoothly. The other day, somebody in my family came down to my garage, and I love this person dearly. And I have a 26-year-old Monte Carlo Super Sport limited edition. It's got 5,000 miles on it. It's 2001. It's a limited edition, a Dale Earnhardt signed. And this person in my family backed into it. Inside my brain, I lost my mind. I lost my mind. And my Bible was on the lady's desk that answers the phone, and I had just read that morning that all things work together for good. And I'm looking down at my Bible, and I'm thinking about what just happened, and I got Justin trying to soothe everything, and I'm just like, I wasn't happy. And I lost my mind. And I contained it after a moment. But for a moment, I wasn't saying that I knew that all things work together for good. And it just showed me that I am still not at a place that I need to be. Because I can tell you this. I got saved in 1982. And since 1982... my Lord and Savior has never failed me, not one time. Not once. Not once. The Bible says, in fact, that Jesus says that He will never leave us nor forsake us. That means that when we don't have money to pay the bills, when the car is broken, when we can't do anything, when we're so sick that we just, you know, almost can't get up out of the bed, that the Lord Jesus Christ will never leave us nor forsake us. That's better than any human friend that I know. I mean, I've had some good friends over the years, but, you know, every once in a while, some goofball thing will happen and they disappoint you. Listen, you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, He's never going to disappoint you. He's never going to leave you by the wayside. He's never going to leave you just like holding the bag, so to speak. I remember one time a friend of mine, you know, we went and looked at this car, and on the way home, he's telling me about, you know, how bad it was and all the bad things. And I'm, you know, get your mind, the gears turning and everything. And then he went back and bought it. I'm like, wow, with friends like that, who needs enemies, you know? But the Lord Jesus Christ is a friend like any, like none other. He's faithful. He's true. And we see Paul here three times. You know what we need to look for when things go wrong in our life? God, what is your purpose for me in this? Because there's a purpose.
Come on.
I prayed pretty vigilantly, and I called the man with the Monte Carlo. And I was expecting bad things. And he said, well, Dave, he said, I've heard good things about you. And he says, and I know that you'll make whatever needs to be made right. And he says, and I'm okay with it. He said, stuff happens. What? Okay, bye. And I hung up the phone and I was like, I almost didn't believe it, but I serve an awesome God. We see Paul here says three times, please, Lord, make this go away. The Lord said this, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Mm-hmm. So in other words, when you're at the end of your rope and you run out of solutions and you run out of money and you run out of friends, God says that his grace is still sufficient for you. Mm. When you come to the end of your answers and your solutions, God says, I'm here for you. So go ahead. Have fun, get frustrated, try to figure it all out, and when you can't, come to me, and I'm going to give you a great dose of grace that's going to enable you to get through this trial that I knew was coming down the road for you. And I didn't give it to you because I'm mean and rotten and I don't love you. I'm giving it to you because there's some areas in your life that are lacking. Maybe you're not reading my word as much as you should. Maybe you're not spending enough time in prayer as much as you should. So these things are absolutely going to work together for good because they are going to bring you closer to me. That's what the purpose, you know, people, oh, a bad thing happened. Well, okay, yeah, it's not the greatest thing, and I don't jump up and down and say, yay, a bad thing happened, but they happen. But you must remember this. Our position in Jesus Christ doesn't change because of that bad thing that happened. Our name is still written down in the book of life in heaven. Nobody can strike that out. God says, I'm promising you eternal life because you've trusted in my son, Jesus Christ. And not only can you put your trust in him for your salvation, but you can put your trust in him for day-to-day life. And he will take care of every detail and sort out every problem that you have in your life. But you got to trust him. The Bible says in Hebrews, without faith, it's impossible to please God. They that come to God must what? Number one, believe that who he says he is. He's the great I am. Okay, he's the creator. And without him, nothing would exist. And that is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. You know, to me, faith is an inner belief in an inner trust. And it's a confidence that can cause outward acts of greatness that glorify God. When you trust God to the point that somebody can smash a collector car and you don't lose your marbles over it, and people see that, they go, wow. And God gets the glory for it. When somebody comes over your house and knocks over a glass vase that, you know, is an heirloom or whatever, are you thrilled? No. But God will give you the grace to handle it in the right way and do something, you know, forgive that person or whatever. And you can do great things in the sight of turmoil and, you know, tragedy that glorify and honor God. People are dumbfounded. They're like, this bad thing happened and this person didn't go cuckoo. The world expects that. Something bad happens and people lose their mind. Okay, I mean, I see people down near my shop at the red light and, you know, the light, somebody didn't make it through and the guy's blowing the horn, yelling out the window because the light turned red. Ooh, what a terrible thing. We are peculiar as human beings. We are, the other day, last week, there was one day it was a little slow. And I was like, oh, Lord, you know, we're slow. And my goodness, what's going to happen? And then the next day I came to work and there was no place for me to park my truck. And I went, oh, what am I going to do with all these vehicles? I can't believe it. Look at the mess. And then I said to myself, boy, you are a knucklehead. Here you complained yesterday and told the Lord that you were worried because business was a little slow. And now you have an abundance and now you're complaining. The Lord must sit in heaven and shake his head and go, oh, Dave, you know, really? But if we admitted it, we're all kind of like that. You know, we want something and then when something happens, well, yeah, no, we don't want it. It's like, oh, my goodness, really? We are peculiar people. You know, Titus tells us that we're supposed to be peculiar people, zealous unto good works.
Right.
But we're just peculiar people. We are just peculiar people. Oh, boy. I remember one day I was complaining about how busy it was, and Justin said to me, yeah, Dad, I know. He says, it's terrible. You got to take all these people's money when they come to pick up their car. And I said to myself, wow, out of the mouths of babes, you know, I mean, just... Okay, I'm going to be quiet now. I'm not going to complain anymore because I'm being really foolish here. You know, it's just. But so we see here that Paul sought the Lord three times to get this problem removed. And the Lord told him, and the Lord will tell each one of us, that my grace is always there for you.
Mm-hmm.
My grace is one prayer away.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, not only is grace there for you, but the book of James tells us, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. That means when you have no understanding about something, and you go to God and ask him for understanding, the Bible says that he's not going to give you a little bit of wisdom.
Amen.
That he's just going to open the floodgates, that you're going to have a complete understanding of what you're praying and asking him about.
Amen.
That's our God. But we have to live by faith. We have to live by that inner belief, that inner trust, and inner confidence. And that's a process. It takes a while. You know, but if you look back upon your life, God has a perfect track record. He's never going to be backed into a corner. We're going to say, well, you know, Lord, you let me down. Nope. We let him down over and over and over again. And yet, his grace is still sufficient for each one of us. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. This, I believe, is the way that God wants us to go through situations and be able to glorify him. Acts chapter 16, and we'll start in verse 16. The Bible says, and it actually, to back things up just a little bit, this is Paul and Silas on a missionary journey, and they're going to this place to preach. And in verse 16 it says, and it came to pass when they went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. So we see here there's a woman that's possessed with some kind of demonic force, and she's like almost like a fortune teller. Let me tell you something, Christian. If I go by a fortune teller's house or a card reader and I see you parked there, I'm going to get out of my car and I'm going to come and give you a big kick. Okay? Because that stuff is demonic and it's right from the pit of hell. No Christian ever has any business going and getting involved with anything like that. It's sorcery, it's witchcraft, it's demonic, it's wrong. Bottom line, and I have no apologies for it. So we see that this woman had this spirit upon her, and the same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way unto salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Oh, okay, that's a good thing, right?
Sure.
You would think that's a good thing, right? That's like, you know, somebody having a terminal illness and all of a sudden they don't have it anymore. Hey, let's praise the Lord. That's a wonderful thing. That's an answer to prayer. Well, it didn't work out that way here. So we see here in verse 19, and when her masters saw that their hope of their gains was gone, uh-oh, it always comes down to money, doesn't it? Yeah. You know, that's why the Lord Jesus Christ said, not money, money's not evil. It's a great servant, terrible master. Money. Ooh, he said the love of money is the root of all evil. Man, I've seen some Christians do some screwball things over money. And it's like, you know something? You can always make more money. You know, you can always get another job. You can always, you know, save up. You can always do that. Listen, if you got to wreck your testimony for money, let me tell you something. It ain't worth it. And I know that's not grammatically correct, but it ain't worth it. Bottom line, if you got to ruin your testimony for money, not worth it. Walk away. Walk away. So, and when her money saw that, the master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas, drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. They just cast a demon out of this poor woman who was vexed with this spirit, and now they're troubling the city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes, and they commanded to beat them. I see that this would probably be one of those incidents that I would probably complain. Wait a minute, I didn't do anything wrong. Why are you doing this to me? I don't understand. This is not right. There's a reason. And remember, every time we go through a trial, there's a reason. Every time there's a problem that comes into our life, it's not just to be an Achilles heel for us. It's an opportunity to draw closer to God and to be used by God in a situation. When I was down to Lawrence Hospital, there was a infectious disease doctor. His name was Dr. Habib. And he thought for sure that sepsis had gotten into my heart valves, because I guess this particular form of sepsis, one of their favorite foods is heart valves. So he was insistent that I get an MRI. I had to be put under, and I was like, no, I don't want to. And he was like, no, please, please, I want you to. Okay. So I came to, and he's standing next to my bed with a big smile going, it's a miracle. He says, there is no bacteria in your heart valves. And I said to him, I remember distinctly saying this to him, I said, I serve a great God. And he says, Val, he says, this is miracle. He says, I say, this is miracle. I said, well, there's a lot of people praying for me. Yeah. Do I, you know, I mean, he attributed it to a miracle. I'm not going to argue with him, you know. One less operation I needed to go through, and it was very exciting and elating to him. He was really excited over the whole thing. So, you know, it clicked in. I said, I need to give God glory here. I said, I serve a great God. And I said, and his grace is sufficient for me. So he was all, we kind of became buddies after that. And when me and my wife went for checkups and everything, very friendly, you know, asking me how I was doing. And the last visit I went down to him, he said, so, he says, do you go to church? I said, I do. And I gave him a Life's Greatest Discovery track. I had left the garage, and there was a couple of tracks on the desk. I grabbed one before I left and went down to the hospital. I figured I could leave a couple here and there. But I brought one with me that day, and it was for him. So, did I enjoy the sepsis? No. But now I look back and I understand that God had a purpose and a plan for it. You know, would it be something that I signed up for? No. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be brutally honest. No. I don't like pain. I don't like discomfort. I don't like inconvenience. There's a word today that everybody, yeah, oh, that's inconvenient. There's a lot of things inconvenient. When Jesus went to the cross, I'll guarantee you that was inconvenient. When the blood poured out and his life spilled out, that was inconvenient. But you know what? He did it willingly for us. And we should be willing to serve God with these lives that he's given to us, and remember our mission, that when the Spirit has come upon us, we become witnesses. How do we do that? Just by words? No. By the way that we conduct our life, by the way that we live our life in front of an unsaved, heathenistic, sinful world. Shine as lights. Don't let your light be put under a bushel. Make it up on the shelf so that it gives light to all that's around you. As a Christian, enhance the area that you're in. Make it better. So we see here, verse 23, it says, "And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks." Now, we look at this from a humanistic point of view and go, what were the charges? What did they do wrong? Well, the judges and the magistrates that were making money off of this lady that was fortune-telling, they weren't going to be making money anymore. So as a way to get back at Paul and Silas, they said, okay. So not only did they take them to the public square and you know, give them lashes on their backs with no shirts on, now they threw them in the jail. And not the jail where everybody could see, but the innermost parts of the jail. And you have to understand something. Back in these days, the jails didn't have, you know, facilities. So I'm sure that the place didn't smell real good. They didn't have air conditioning, okay? So I'm sure it was not a wonderful place to be. And I would probably be thinking to myself, wow, how did this all come about? But as a Christian, we got to say to ourselves, Lord, I'm here for a reason. How do you want to use me? What do you want me to do? It's interesting. In verse 25, it says, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." Amen. You know what they were having at jail? They were having a church service. That's what they were having. They were praising the Lord. They were singing songs. They were praying. I'm sure there were some scriptures. And they were having a church service. And the Bible says that the men that were in there were kind of the, you know, degradation of society. They were getting to hear the gospel. They were getting to hear these songs of praise. Well, let's read on and see what happens. And in verse 26, it says, "And suddenly there was a great earthquake." Now, wow, how do you think that happened? Just happenstance, right? It was just a big coincidence that that earthquake happened. No. God, who's in control of our lives, said, now is the time. I'm going to make something happen. People are going to see the power of God. Why? Because there was a couple of obedient men down there in a jail praying and having a church service and singing songs of praise. And God was going to declare his glory in front of everybody. So it says, "And suddenly the prisoners were shaken, and immediately the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Tell me that God's hand was not all over that situation. And you know something? As unpleasant as it was for Paul and Silas, the opportunity to be there and see the hand of God move and to be part of it, to witness it with your eyes, what a tremendous blessing that had to be. Amen. You know something? I'm sure they forgot all about the beating they got out in the public square. I'm sure they forgot about how rotten the prison was, because God declared his glory right in front of their very eyes. Verse 28, or verse 29, it says, "Then he called for a light, the jailer, and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved?" If that doesn't make you a little bit emotional, think about the trials that we go through sometimes. Paul and Silas lived such a life, praised their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, worshiped God, and probably some of the most horrific situations, to the point where this jailer saw the difference in their life and said, hey, I want some of what you got. What must I do to be saved? Now, put that in perspective for us today. We can do it at the workplace. We can do it at the grocery store. We can go to Home Depot. We can be a witness, which is our job, by the way that we live our life. And hey, let's face it, we're not exempt to problems. You know what we're exempt to? We're exempt to hell because we know Jesus Christ is our personal Savior. You know what we're exempt to? We're exempt to the sin that was in our past life because God cleansed the slate and forgave us for all those things. That's what we're exempt to. And those are pretty big exemptions in my book. So yeah, we're going to have problems. We're going to have situations in our life that we struggle, that we have a difficult time trying to maneuver our way through it. But the grace of God is sufficient for each one of us. So Paul and Silas said to this jailer, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." So not only was the jailer going to be saved, but when the jailer got saved, he was going to go home and broadcast it to his family, and they were going to be saved. Amen. Man. Right. Wow. Right. All in the midst of turmoil and problems. So the next time somebody backs into a collector car, or the next time somebody cuts you off in traffic, or cuts in front of you at the grocery store, or something doesn't go your way, we all need to say, "Lord, I'm here for a reason, and I know it's to be a witness. How are you going to use this situation in my life to bring honor and glory to you?" The final verse before we close, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." Amen. You know that inner confidence I talked about, that inner trust, that inner belief? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Boy, I'll tell you what. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. And he will direct your path. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. And God, we thank you for the opportunity to just read through it tonight. And Lord, see examples of men that lived before us, Lord, that in the sight of danger and hardship and problems, Lord, they still lifted up the Lord Jesus Christ and brought honor and glory. We pray, Lord, that you would give each one of us that grace in the situations we face in day-to-day life, to just bring honor and glory to you and be witnesses that we're supposed to be. We thank you again for this time, Lord. We ask that you just continue to speak to our hearts. Bless our time of prayer. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.